Yeah, 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 come and take a look at the snow. Bright white as far as your eyesight goes. Come and take a look at the fields of snow. I'll just get my coat, then we're good to go. Come and take a look at the lake. Let's have a quick skate before it gets late. Come and take a look at the frozen lake. Put your clothes on, mate, don't make that mistake.
Greetings, holiday shoppers. There are now 46 shopping days left until Christmas, and you know what that means. It's time for another episode of Christmas Creeps, your one-stop shop for holiday movies and TV shows all year round. My name is Joseph Wade. I will be your host for this evening. Here with me tonight are my co-hosts, Johnny Five, the human robot.
Hello, hello.
Hello, Jonathan. How are you tonight?
I'm all right. How are you doing?
I'm staving off depression one drink at a time. Mr. Bradford is here as well. Brad, how's it going?
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you staving off the midterm election night depression?
I'm recording this with you.
Yeah, this is the thing that we're doing tonight so that we're not all just watching the news and doom-scrolling ourselves into oblivion.
Well, I was playing 20 Minutes Till Dawn, but okay, I can record too, I guess.
Well, fair enough. But hi, everybody. This is November.
Hi.
And we thought that Home for the Hard Days was over, but we had one last trick up our sleeve because the people wanted it, and you got to give the people what they want. So this week on the show, we are discussing the 2018 Sci-Fi Channel original movie, Santa Jaws.
Boo. Surprise. Are you scared? We did it.
Scared you, didn't I?
Scared you, didn't I? That little kid.
Ever since we did that episode, I've been saying that to people a lot.
People who don't understand the reference.
Yeah, or like, it is any time I wind up saying rar, I will always follow it up with scared you, didn't I?
How many times per week do you say rar?
In my household, several.
Oh.
So there's that. Mostly it's to scare the cat. But there it is.
And you're helping people unpack files that they don't already have supported on a computer. Like, oh, you need 7-zip to get this RAR. Scared you, didn't I?
No, you have to download the free version of WinRAR. Scared you, didn't I? No. So the people wanted us to cover Santa Jaws. So that's what we're going to do tonight. Santa Jaws, the Sci-Fi Channel original movie, like I mentioned. It's streaming on Amazon Prime right now. If you want to go watch it and pause this episode and then come back and listen to us ramble about it, great. Go do that. Or if you don't want to watch it, which I'm also fine with, we will presently just ramble about it and tell you everything you need to know. Also would like to point out before the show starts that we have, as of today, officially donated the $60 that we promised we would to St. Jude's Children's Hospital from our last episode. Did kind of sort of forget about that, but that's all been made good now.
Good job, John. You did it.
Congratulations. First things first, before we talk about Santa Jaws, there is the matter of disgusting holiday drinks that we have to talk about tonight. Because I'm holding in my hand, I can't believe I'm even doing this, Mountain Dew Fruit Quake.
Get fucked.
You got it. You did it.
I got it. I went to my local Sheets and they had it. And I had to do that. Mountain Dew with a blast of artificial fruitcake flavor. I'm going to inflict grievous bodily harm on my 36-year-old body. I'm going to drink Mountain Dew after 9 p.m.
So, first off, before you start, how familiar are you with the flavors of a fruitcake?
Judging purely on the label, I see red candies and green candies and pecans. That's really all that I know.
But do you?
I'm assuming there's some kind of a raisin flavor in there too.
Do you regularly partake of the fruitcake around the holiday tide season?
I will. So around here, it's Claxton Farms, I think, is the one that does like the store-bought fruitcakes. They do miniature slices of fruitcake for the crazy people who just want one little taste. And I will always try it, and I will always come away disappointed.
I mean, they really know that most people are going to take a slice, remember how bad it is, and then throw away the rest of the fruitcake. So it's really dedication.
I want to say maybe Libby said she likes fruitcake, but that might also be slander on my part.
Yeah, we'll have to check our files on that one, and you may or may not be getting an angry phone call from Libby here soon.
She might be the only person, though.
My dad goes in on a fruitcake. He buys, like, the solid brick that you could, like, bludgeon somebody to death with. Is that the same one you're talking about?
I think so, yeah. You need, it's like a Jenga tower.
They look like fire. If you know, like, fire starters, it's just like compressed sawdust. It looks like a log. Yeah, log.
It's a Duraflame. Yeah,
it's a Duraflame. He gets one every he gets one every Christmas, and he eats most of it. Bless him. Somehow, more power to him.
I
want to
say it's a psyop on his part. He's just like, I'm going to get the one thing I can have to myself because nobody else will want it, and I don't want it either. But the fact that I have it to myself is what makes it good.
Well, you say that. Well, maybe he has a couple of those things, because he also eats tuna fish with mayonnaise on crackers as a little treat for himself. So there's that too.
Is he also a raw oyster man?
he will go in on raw oysters, but I will join him in that endeavor. So okay. He's not alone there.
Okay, so like typical dad fare, I guess. Like once you reach a certain point in dadhood, you just start going all in on the gross stuff that nobody wants because you're just trying to get rid of it at that point, right?
I think that might be it. I don't know.
Like at a certain point of fatherhood, like the switch gets flipped in your brain where you're just like, well, waste not, want not.
Oh, I'm already there, my dude.
I'm assuming this is true, so you're the only one who can really confirm or deny this.
Fortunately, we don't really keep gross things like fruitcake and, you know, bumblebee tuna and mayonnaise around, but actually tuna mayo is pretty good in sushi, so maybe he's on to something. Anyways,
you're just describing tuna salad, right?
I mean, it's basically tuna. It's like roll your own tuna salad, I guess. Yeah,
I mean, they have those things like at the store, like the little like lunch on the go type things. It's like the tuna
adult Lunchables.
Crackers.
Yeah,
but we have to mix them yourself, though. It's just like you're going to do a bad job mixing it yourself.
For certain. But that doesn't stop my old man from getting down on it. I'm already there. I eat every manner of leftover under the sun because that's my life now.
Like a true dad.
All right.
Well. I mean, we're kind of just forestalling the inevitable here. The point being, I'm not super familiar with the flavors of a fruitcake, so I'm not entirely sure what to expect from this. But I also really do not appreciate that the color and consistency of this Mountain Dew is like, if you can combine the colors pink and brown together, this is what this looks like. I don't know. I'm afraid, you guys. But here we go. I don't know if you heard that or not.
I heard it. It's some good Foley.
All right. Good job. Here we go. Here goes nothing. Nope. I'm out. I'm done.
You're out? No.
Bastard.
Cannot.
Too sweet? Like, walk us through what you're experiencing. Go through the notes.
At first, I'm really hitting, like, the ginger ale kind of flavors. Like, I'm getting a lot of ginger out of this.
Okay.
It's definitely, I'm drinking it again like an idiot. There's definitely some like unidentifiable fruitiness to it. I don't know what fruit typically goes into a fruitcake, but I'm assuming it's just like an amalgam of all of them at the same time.
The ones that you can get commercially, they have like, it's like gummies almost. It's not really fruit.
Yeah.
If it is, it's like candied fruit, like maraschino cherries.
It's just leftover dots from Halloween.
Yeah, pretty much.
Honestly,
chopped up dots.
I mean, hell, if they made a Dots soda, I would probably drink it. I love Dots. But this just tastes like a Mountain Dew that went bad.
Ugh.
Like, there's no definable flavor to it. It's just, it's like halfway between like ginger ale and bad Mountain Dew.
Is this your drink of choice for the rest of this podcast, or do you have something to wash away your sins?
I mean, I do have a water here because I'm not a crazy person, but let me go grab another libation right fast.
Yeah, you do that. I feel like you deserve it. While he's doing that, how you doing, John?
Doing all right, because I didn't drink the fruitcake Mountain Dew. How you doing?
Yeah, doing all right? Because I also did not drink the fruitcake Mountain Dew.
You guys are asses.
Why? Why
okay.
are we?
Well, okay. Let's just go ahead
okay.
and...
Can check?
Can check it. What are you guys drinking tonight?
I'm also drinking a seasonal drink. Probably not as disgusting, depending on your opinion. I have a GT's Living in Gratitude Fall Kombucha with apple, turmeric, carrot, and spices. It's all right. It's pretty good.
Brad, again with the kombuchas. I'm impressed.
I've been on a kombucha kick, like, the last half a year. It's all right. It's sweet, but not, like, it has sugar, but it's not too sweet. It's nice to have a little sugar every once in a while as a treat.
As a treat, yeah. J-Man, what do you got over there?
I'll just have a sugar packet or two.
Fair enough. Okay, real beer this time. I got a Narragansett here, and it just spilled all over myself. So, fuck me, I
guess. Neighbor. You made a mess of yourself, neighbor. I haven't had a Narragansett in ages.
I got the Narragansett Fest Marzen Ale. I guess it's their Oktoberfest that I've been holding on to kind of by accident. I honestly forgot I had it. But actually, this is a perfect opportunity. I didn't even think about this until I saw it, to drink a Narragansett tonight, because we're talking about a shark movie. And, you know, Robert Shaw, Quint's favorite drink of choice in Jaws was a Narragansett. So pour one out for Quint tonight, because we're talking about Jaws Light, I suppose.
Santa Jaws.
This has been on our radar at least since it came out, 2018. I remember when it hit the Sci-Fi Channel, I pestered the Sci-Fi Channel for what seemed like years as to when we were going to get like a DVD release, because I desperately wanted to cover it. And it just never materialized. So the fact that it's on Amazon Prime now, like, you know what? I'll take it. Fine, I'll take it. And then now that having watched it, I don't know. What did you guys think?
I didn't hate it.
Yeah, my bottom of the barrel expectations were exceeded.
Yes. There you go. That's about all the best you can say about it, in my opinion. It exceeded very, very low expectations.
Well, that makes 2 out of 3, I guess. I don't know, man. I appreciated it for trying. I'll say that. It really tried.
Did it, though? Did it?
I mean, it was more of a movie than, like, either of the Christmas Shoe sequels.
Yes, that's true.
Was it more of a movie than Bloodbeat?
It was more of an actual movie than Bloodbeat, but it was certainly less interesting than Bloodbeat.
Yeah.
That's
like,
fair.
In the sense of there was a plot that had a start and had some stuff in the middle and then had an end at the end. It surpassed Bloodbeat, but the goofy shit, what was going on screen, was a little more fun in Bloodbeat.
Yeah. I think that it's an unfair comparison to Bloodbeat, because if you have two cars and one's like just a normal car, let's say it's a Ford Focus, and the other one is made out of, you know,
and the other one is the Homer.
Or the other one's made out of, like, carpet scraps and paper clips, but somehow still manages to work as a functioning car. You're definitely going to be more interested in that latter one.
But that's not to say that this one isn't kind of a scrappy, do-it-yourself kind of movie either. I mean, it's a real movie in the sense that it's working on a Sci-Fi Channel budget, but even that sort of qualifier, it's only going to get it so far, because it's very... very low budget, very DIY, but some of the choices it makes, I honestly kind of appreciate it.
Yeah, honestly, I was expecting some like Sharknado nonsense where it was like gonna be all like tongue in cheek and up its own ass and everything like that. And like, no, this movie treats the silly premise as serious, which is what you kind of need to do.
That's true. Yeah, and if anything, I'll say that you could tell that the people who made this really at least care about the structure of a shark movie, because the director, Misty Talley, her last One, two, three. Her last four movies have all been shark movies.
She's part of the shark movie industrial complex, but yeah. You can appreciate her dedication to her craft.
Yeah, I mean, Shark Island, a.k.a. Zombie Shark, was her first feature, followed up by Ozark Sharks, and then Mississippi River Sharks, and then finally Santa Jaws. So that's apparently her thing, which, you know...
Let me say fine. Missed opportunity not to just call it Ozark on the second one there, but...
Ozark.
Probably doesn't... Ozark, but it doesn't really scan quite as well. Anyways.
Yeah, that's a little rough. That's a little rough.
I think I would maybe... I don't know, watch would be a strong word, but, like, look for clips on YouTube of a movie that, like, was sharks eating people in Branson, Missouri. I could go for that.
Yeah, I mean, that's... It's definitely a premise. But, no, I mean, I only point this out because, like, this person clearly has a thing for shark movies. So, Santa Jaws being her fourth shark movie, I guess there's... I guess we can say that she knows what she's doing here, I suppose.
And you said that you found an interview with her about shark movies, right?
I think it was her IMDb, where she basically said that she feels like shark movies are a perfect way for like directors to cut their teeth, because basically Jaws is like nothing but if nothing else, Jaws is like the perfect horror movie, but also like one of Spielberg's first, you know, directing gigs, and it taught him kind of everything he needed to know going forward. So then taking that and going through like the Sci-Fi Channel model of just cranking out shark movies, you know, in a week or two, I guess that works.
I honestly think she has a really good point. Shark movies are very good, like director's first horror movie, because horror is the genre you usually gravitate to on like a low budget, you know, because it's a lot easier just to like throw some fake blood at stuff, you know. Shark works especially well because you can get away with not like really when your killer is a fucking shark, you don't really have to characterize it too much.
True.
And also you shouldn't, because like it's like I mentioned last time, like fucking Halloween started to suck when they decided Michael Myers needed a backstory other than just like that guy fucking sucks and he likes to kill people, you know?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
The more they explored him, the more it fucking got annoying. It was like, no, it was better when he just liked killing people, and like that's kind of why Friday the 13th, why, like, with Friday the 13th, you just, like, don't really take Jason seriously as, like, a killer, because you're just like, yeah, those kids fucking deserve it, is what you end up thinking through most of those movies, because they spend too much time telling you about Jason.
Right, and the same thing kind of applies to Jaws, because, like, by the time you get to Jaws the Revenge, where, you know, you move the family to the Bahamas, and you have to give the shark a motivation for why it's following them to the Bahamas, like, what are you even doing anymore?
So, like, yeah, you have... A villain that just kills for the sake of killing, basically. You have an excuse not to show them too much, you know, which that worked in Jaws' favor. I think it was because of the puppet, like, they couldn't get the puppet working, so they saved it for a big reveal, and it definitely helped.
Right, right.
This movie didn't do that, unfortunately. They played their hand with the computer shark a little too early, and it's not good.
Early and often, yes.
Yes.
But that's not to say that they don't like try to do other things with it, because like there's not just that, but then you get that first person camera view of the shark in the gross muddy like Louisiana Delta waters, like popping up out of the water at people, which is not bad. I kind of enjoyed that aspect of it, but then
yeah,
when they cut straight to the CGI shark just chomping people and dropping them in the water, it's not so great. So I mean, we're gonna have to talk about the plot here, because the plot is, I think, more complicated than it needs to be.
A little.
Is that an understatement?
It's the tale of the ghastly grinner from Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Okay, you're going to have to extrapolate that.
Yeah.
The comic book comes to life.
Okay, I guess that didn't take so long.
Yeah, that'll be $60 for the charity of my choice, please. Thank you.
No. So our main character, Cody, is an artist. He draws comic books. His friend, what is his friend's name?
Steve.
Is it Steve?
The writer?
Yeah, the writer Steve. Kid.
Yeah,
I don't think I caught it throughout the entire film. to the point where I thought they were doing that on purpose.
He shouts his name when, spoiler alert, Steve dies.
Oh, okay.
I must have when missed I got, that. I finally got his name written down when that happened, because otherwise...
they said it a few times, but it was, very sporadically, when they introduced themselves to the neighbor, there was I'm Cody, I'm Steve, that's Steve, now you're caught up, type thing.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, that's true. Fair enough. I think at a certain point, I got far enough into the movie where I didn't remember his name that I just assumed they were doing it on purpose. But yeah, anyway, Cody and Steve are comic book guys. Steve writes comic books and Cody draws comic books, and they've drawn this comic book together called Santa Jaws. And the reason that the poster for this movie looks like a child drew it is because it's actually the drawing of the comic book that a child drew in the film, which honestly is pretty clever. I appreciate that. But the first scene of the film is a scene from Santa Jaws where there's an evil Santa Claus who's about to sacrifice a woman to a shark, and a guy stops him, saves Christmas by feeding the evil Santa to the shark. And I gotta say, the line, "The spirit of Christmas demands a sacrifice," is just wonderful. I appreciate it. But Cody's family does not appreciate this. And his uncle and his uncle's new wife, Georgia, are coming home for Christmas Eve dinner. And Cody is grounded because apparently he drew a picture of the school principal and sent it all over social media, like you do. And it's very unflattering and very bad. And his mom grounds him for Christmas Eve. Somebody take this away from me, please.
All right, so Cody's mad at his family, and he is pouting in his room, and he's drawing more Santa Jaws, as one does. Right. And he discovers a gift from his papa, his grandpa, which is a pen, which has a weird inscription in German, which we don't learn about until later, but some music plays, and he uses the pen to ink in Santa Jaws on a page. Wakes up the next morning, Papa's taken him out for their yearly fishing trip. He, on his way to the truck, eats it in front of the girl who he likes, who just moved in across the way. More on that later.
I want to interject with one thing.
Yeah.
Whoever printed out the clear label sticker on the label maker for the pen case couldn't figure out how to do an S set in German. They did a capital B.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
So I know a character reads the writing later, but Jonathan, what does the pen set say? You know German.
It's basically something like that. The pen, I don't have it in front of me, but it's the pen will give you power. If you have goodness in your heart, beware the egotistical or something like that. It'll give you power. With power comes responsibility, blah, 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 type shit, basically.
It's a power pen. But we don't know that yet. Or he doesn't know that yet. Anyways.
Right.
They go fishing. Pop-Pop's getting into the eggnog. He accidentally drops some in the water. And that attracts a shark who comes and eats him off of the dock where they are fishing.
Broad daylight. Middle of the day, nobody around but Cody sees this, so obviously everyone thinks Cody made this up.
Right. He runs back to his parents, and everybody blows him off because they think he's a teen acting out, and Pop-Pop is still asleep, but no, he's not. Well, he's asleep in a certain way, if you think about it. But anyways.
Aww.
The thing here, not to be boy, I hope someone got fired for that blunder, but it's they didn't. There's he's obviously asleep in his room, which is right over there. No, I'm not going to go look.
Right. If I go look, it's just going to confirm to you that I think you're lying.
No. Yeah. So they double dog ground Cody and take away his phone. And then the whole rest of the family heads out to the restaurant that I guess they own, where they're doing, a charity dinner, or not charity dinner, but like a dinner like, for the community.
Yeah, like a, like a community center dinner. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which here's what my one big beef with this film. We should see some of the community.
We see one member of the community who gets murked, but we're going to get into that.
Right. But my
not here's, a very flattering depiction either.
No. But here's going to be part of my thing about this movie is if you're comparing this to Jaws. So Jaws gives you like a sense of the entire town of Amity. Like you meet a lot of the people, you meet the mayor, you meet the people down the street, the lady who's complaining about the kids practicing karate and chopping off her picket fences. All these people, like four people tops, get eaten by a shark in that movie out of like a cast of hundreds.
Yeah.
Santa Jaws, there are like 10 people in the movie tops, and 8 of them get eaten.
Yeah, and let me think.
One of those people is not a character.
Right.
The only person who doesn't end up eaten at the end is Cody, right?
Right.
Is there anybody else spared? I guess Svetlana is.
Yeah, Svetlana is the other one who's not really a character. Yeah. Those are the only two people that don't end up dead via shark.
Yeah.
Right. So it's just, where is everybody else? What does the rest of the town think of this? I don't know. I would love to know. Anyway, let's continue.
I think that the problem is they're trying to imply that they're all over. They're all just over there off screen getting ready for the big boat parade.
Smiling and laughing too, right, just out of frame.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that was their excuse as to why they don't call the cops. They're like, oh, they're getting ready for the big boat parade.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyways.
Okay. Just lampshade over the fact that we only hired 10 actors.
Okay. All right. So, where were we?
I mean, it's you see it done better in other movies, but I kind of get what they're going for. Like, you remember in Scream how they got rid of half the characters without killing them, right?
No. Remind me.
They're at a house party and they get like all but the main characters to leave because somebody comes in and be like, hey, someone killed Fonzie and strung him up at the school. So they all run to the school to go rubberneck.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So it's like, there's a potential for like something there of like how you could have all these people not around, but it still feels kind of clunky and you really do kind of put two together like, oh, it's because they don't have the other people.
It's really odd, though. It does end up contributing to a bit of an odd look because there's not even any extras, like, in the background.
Yeah, no.
At all.
It would have helped to have extras at the start and then they all disappear because they're all at the boat show. Like, something like that would work, you know?
Even that. But like, they're down at the marina and, like, every wide shot of all of the marina, there's nobody anywhere around except for my favorite character, the day-drinking elf, which we'll get into.
Yes. Or to reference another Christmas movie, you know, Home Alone's excuse is that, oh, everybody in the neighborhood's on vacation.
Right.
But here, they don't do that because they explicitly say everyone in town's coming to the party tonight. But where are they?
All right.
Okay,
so.
Yeah. Not important.
Cody's uncle, Mike?
Mike.
Mike. And his new wife, Georgia, who is an Instagram model. Hey, movie makers, little pro tip. You can say Instagram or Snapchat. Nobody's going to get mad at you. You don't have to make up a cute fake name.
Right.
Anyways.
And for every time you have a character say the word hashtag out loud, followed by something you would put in a hashtag, I wish for your death. And it happened twice in this movie. So...
She's yeah, we'll get into Georgia, I guess. But anyways, Mike and Georgia are here from out of town, and Mike is I guess rich, sort of, maybe, or pretends to be.
He's implied to be like some LA mucky muck of some repute. Yeah.
Yeah, he's anyway. Like some banker or finance type guy just from the way he acts and everything.
He's a hedge right. fund manager for sure.
Okay. So they're renting a yacht to be in the boat parade because he wants to show Georgia that he knows how to drive a boat. Toot toot. He's the captain. Look at him now. Yes. So they go to the boat and they're messing around and the motor is not working while they are sort of getting everything ready and decorating it for Christmas. So Mike goes down to try and fix said boat. He gets eated.
Mike's like, this is not what I meant by motorboating.
And Georgia, being this being a shark movie, has changed into a bikini and remains in said bikini for the rest of the film. There you go.
Christmas Eve. Why not?
As one does. Christmas Eve, as one does, even though all of the trees are bare. As one does.
It's Louisiana. I'll accept it.
It's fine. It's probably fine. 70 degrees. A bit of a weird choice, but she's not going to be uncomfortable. Anyhow.
So now Mike's gone.
Mike's gone. She's in a pool floaty, but she manages to escape. And she runs back to the restaurant where Cody's parents and brother are still working on the Christmas dinner. She's hysterical. They still think that Mike might be playing a prank or something. They don't believe her, but they get Cody's brother to take her home. All the while, Cody's brother's like, I know where that little shit is. He's at the comic book shop. And we haven't even gotten into the comic book shop because that's where Cody and Steve like to hang out.
Right.
The older proprietor.
Right. So Cody and Steve have taken their comic book Santa Jaws to the comic book shop. The comic book owner, whose name is Clark or Craig.
Okay.
I don't recall.
Chuck.
Somebody.
It's Chuck somebody or Clark. It isn't with a K at any rate.
Whatever. It's a Kevin Smith type. So the comic book guy. I in my notes I wrote down comic book
it's
guy.
It's fucking Steve, Dave.
Yeah. You tell him. So comic book guy loves Santa Jaws so much that he gives the book to a regular who is the new girl at school that Cody kind of likes, who has only been in town so long, but now is apparently a regular at the comic book shop. Okay, fine. So Cody and Steve have to go and find what's her name? Jenna, who lives across the street from him, to give them the comic book back because Cody knows what to do. Because he's got this magic pin. Has he put together the magic pin thing yet?
He's put together the fact that he needs the Santa Jaws comic book because it has the hat on. It's Santa Jaws. Okay.
Yes. Okay. So the shark is tooling around the bay, and every time they see it, the Santa hat is on the fin. It's kind of adorable, honestly. But so yeah, the kids are running around doing their thing. The brother and Georgia are at the comic book shop yelling at comic book guy. Go for it.
I kind of lost the plot because they go over to.
Okay,
I think we're missing a step here.
That's a hell of a go. What do you call it?
What?
The aristocrats.
All right. So basically what happens is that Georgia runs back into the restaurant, which is where they're by, and she's like, oh no, Mike fell in the water, Mike disappeared, I think a shark ate him, blah, 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 blah. So those there realize, no, there's something bad is happening. And so the mom and dad are like, all right, you two go try to find Cody wherever he would go. They're like, he's probably at the comic book shop because he's a nerd, so they go there. And the parents go back to the house to look around. They're going to go check on the grandpa. So when Cody and Steve go back to look for the comic book, they already have Georgia and the brother Josh there.
Yes.
Is what we're missing here.
Right, okay.
Now, we missed the part where they get, what's the girl that he has a crush on's name?
They go to her house. She takes them to her dad's yacht because she left the comic book on her dad's yacht. Again,
did they run it back and forth to the comic book shop more times than I'm remembering?
Yes.
Because they find out from Chuck that he gave the comic to her.
There's three times they go to the comic book shop other than the opening scene of the movie. The first time they go, it's just Cody and Steve, and they ask where the Santa Jaws comic is. That's when they get told that they gave it to, give me her name one more time, please.
Jenna.
They go over to Jenna's house. Then, you know what? I'm gonna do it. We're gonna finish this.
We're
gonna
do it.
Sick of it.
We're on the way. Just go. Get there.
All right.
I just want to step in with one thing. The comic book guy is the worst fucking guy in the world, though, because he's also one of those guys in the year of our fucking dead lord 2018 going like, what are you two girls doing? Having periods and tampons and stuff? It's funny because you're actually guys, but I don't like you and I also don't like women, so I'm calling you girls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Yikes. That aside, they go to Jenna's. She says she left it on her dad's boat. They go to the boat at the marina. They get the book. However, at then we are treated to a montage where the only rando in this movie is a guy dressed in an elf costume, sitting on the dock of the bay, cracking open a cold hoss, having a day drink. Santa Jaws runs the boat into his legs, chops his legs off.
At the knee.
At the knee, and then he walks towards the three kids who are at the marina. He's like, help me, my legs have been chopped off. And then Santa Jaws hits the dock and knocks him into the water and eats him, which establishes that the threat is real.
Not only is the threat real, but that the shark only reacts to Christmas things.
That's right, because it was an elf he ate.
But also, I just want to point out this shot of this guy who's obviously walking on his knees to simulate that his feet have been cut off at the knees is one of the greatest shots I've ever seen in my life.
It's pretty obvious. It's wonderful.
It's very good.
All right, and so they kind of flip out, and then they at this point, do they go back to the comic book shop? I believe so, right?
It's at this point that his brother takes Georgia to the comic book shop, and then they arrive at the comic book shop as well,
right,
to explain what's going on.
And then we get the lore dump about everybody figures out that the pen has made manifest Santa Jaws. However, unbeknownst to them, Cody drops the pen in the shop. This will be important later. And they all head back to the marina with weapons that the comic book guy has given them. A crossbow, a spear and a sword to try to vanquish Santa Jaws. We also have a Breakfast Club moment where Steve and Cody's brother get like work through their issues that one's a jock and one's a nerd while they're looking for explosives. They get the explosives, they put them in ornaments because apparently everything needs to be Christmas themed to kill Santa Jaws. Somehow they've come to that conclusion.
The way they get to that conclusion is that they take I'm guessing are like LARP supplies. They take like the crossbow and like a spear and like start attacking the shark with them. They don't really do anything. But then when Georgia gets eaten, she like stabs the shark in the eye with a candy cane and like gouges its eye out.
Yes.
So they're like, Christmas is the secret.
Yeah. So that's right. Georgia is with them, and in their first attempt to attack it at the dock, she gets wrapped with a line of lights, pulled into the water, and she actually puts up the biggest fight in the movie and stabs it in the eye with a sharpened candy cane that she's been sucking on, and pulls out its eyeball before she goes down.
So we get like chalk this up to like another Christmas movie that uses like a candy cane as a weapon. There's more of them than I care to admit. This happens a lot.
Those things can get very sharp.
They really can. They can mess you up if you're not careful.
All right. So, that's when they come to the conclusion that their weapons need to be modified with the Christmas modifier.
Right.
They make another attempt to attack it. It doesn't work, and I believe at this point Steve gets eaten?
Yes, because Steve drops an ornament into the water, reaches down for it, and boom, Santa Jaws just scoops him right up.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We're back on track.
Now, Cody has left his magic pen at the comic book store. Comic book guy steals it and runs away.
Yes, after they reveal that he has used it to will himself into existence, a girlfriend, a bunch of money, and a car.
Yes. Not just any girlfriend, presumably a Russian mail order bride, because her name is Svetlana, and she says nary a word in the entire film.
I guess that wouldn't even be a feature. Well, I guess she has a name, so she's not an extra. But anyways, somebody needs to take it from me for a little bit because maybe I zoned out a little bit at this point.
So they're at the dock, and they're trying to get Kanpoku to give back the pen. Jenna, like, bum rushes him, knocks him into the water. Santa Claus eats both of them.
Okay.
Yes. Cody, at this point, I'm going to straight up admit it, kind of fell asleep.
Okay. I can take back over
Cody
this.
Cody, Josh, and the parents all finally join up, and they're just like, all right, we're going to murder this shark. The parents have a fucking rifle. It looks like...
You missed one moment where it's Cody and his brother are like, they have the pen again, and they're workshopping how to kill Santa Claus, and they end up giving it a horn, a candy cane horn.
Let's erase its teeth, and then it just chomps a bunch of ornaments and gives itself Christmas teeth, which is amazing.
Yes. Ornament teeth.
Cody draws a giant candy cane shard, and his brother is the one who throws it into the shark's forehead, which doesn't kill it, but now...
No, it magically flies into the shark is what happens.
It magically flies into the shark. Oh, okay. See, I was halfway asleep at this point, so I just assumed he tried to throw a giant candy cane. My bad. But yeah, so the Santa Claus now has a horn, and of course it stabs the brother with it and kills him.
So that's that happens, right. The family makes a last stand at the restaurant.
Okay.
Yeah, because the parents have like it looks like a World War II rifle, to be honest. Like it looks like
looks like a Garand or something. Yeah.
It's got a
clip on the bottom. I don't know.
It's the German version. It looks like the German version of the Garand from like Day of Defeat, because all my reference points are video games. Like SVT maybe? Anyway. I don't know. Anyway, it's a rifle that you would not have for like hunting or something.
It's Grandpa's antique M1 carbine from World War II. Okay, that's probably exactly what it is.
Anyways,
anywhoosin,
they devise a plan to make a trebuchet out of a picnic table, wherein they're going to launch the turkeys that they cooked for the dinner. Filled with black powder. Yes, this is all really happening.
Oh my god. Okay.
It's one of those things where like it's Chekhov's the rest of the entire fucking movie, because like the dad is a physics professor, the brother is like a college baseball pitcher, and grandpa hunts 30 to 50 feral hogs. That's why they had explosives.
Yeah. That's actually the reason they said they have explosives. It's ridiculous. They launch the turkeys. None of them entice Santa Claus. Like, it swims to avoid them, I guess, for whatever reason. Or she swims to avoid them.
She, because it's very plainly said that it's a she.
It's she. Santa Claus is she.
Mrs. So Santa Claus.
She swims to avoid them and is getting closer and closer to them. The last turkey's a dud. So Big Brother hops down onto the dock to... throw the turkey in. He manages to land it, but then gets eaten. And at that point, the next thing that happens, somebody's gonna have to help me.
I literally cannot.
Then the next thing that happens is
dad jumps in to try to rescue him. He gets eaten, because of course.
And then at that point, the Cody picks up the rifle. Does the smile, you son of a bitch, but doesn't actually say it because it's a TV movie. Shoots the exploding turkey, it explodes. Then he like sits down to draw a happy ending to the comic, basically.
Oh, no, mom still needs to get eaten. He and mom fight about the pen, whether or not it's actually what caused Santa Claus to exist. They have a fight. The pen gets knocked out of Cody's hand and goes down to the dock. Mom goes down to get the pen, throws it up to Cody, but then she gets eaten.
Because the shark just comes back.
Yeah, then Cody does the whole... He writes a happy ending to the whole kit and caboodle, and then sets the Santa Claus comic on fire. And then, ladies and gentlemen, what do you think happens next?
I'm going to take a wild guess and say that the thing they mentioned offhand earlier about the Ruby Slippers ending is... another Chekhov's the rest of the fucking movie?
Yes. Yep. Because Cody wakes up in bed. It's Christmas Day, and his entire family is downstairs unwrapping presents.
Oh no, they're trapped in Krampus' snow globe. Ah!
Cody goes across the street to find that Jenna is alive and well as well. and we can assume, but we are, it's never confirmed, that Steve and the comic book guy and the elf all manage to live to see another day, and Svetlana does not exist any longer. Because it was all a dream, of course.
Aww. And the very part, last part of the ending is that he gives Jenna a comic that she mentioned liking earlier. She gives him a copy of Santa Jaws that she has. He goes and burns it in the backyard, and then pulls the pin out of his pocket, takes a look at it, and then it plays a sting of music, and then it's totally... what's his name? The fucking elf not throwing the ring into Mount Doom?
Elrond?
No, not Elf. No, the other guy. Is it Isildur?
Isildur, yeah. Okay.
I don't know.
Anyway, yeah, the start of Fellowship of the Ring, or the flashback where he doesn't throw the ring into the fucking mountain, basically. Because he just, like, looks at the pin, like, looks at the fire, then just, like, does an evil grin, and, like, scary music plays.
I mean, you could have just said the Bilbo line like you said off podcast earlier, but okay.
And at that point, Bradford Windmill slams the exit button on the browser window.
Merry Christmas, everybody. It's a Santa Jaws miracle.
Holy shit, where's the time?
Oh, boy.
I want to give some credit. There was one extremely funny line that made me laugh a lot. That was the one time the movie got me.
Okay.
It was when Steve was being Steve, because he's very annoying and just keeps rolling on whenever he finds something to be annoying about in the early part of the movie. At one point, someone asked him, like, don't you ever stop? And his response is, you know, my parents are in Bermuda right now. Over Christmas, they left me here. So I'm thinking about considering it.
Pretty good.
I like that. That
pretty
is good.
That's pretty good. Oh, boy. Mm. Santa Jaws is a heck of a thing. So let's go ahead and just take this over to the crankometer, because I'm interested to see where we land numbers-wise on this, because I clicked over to political numbers, and hoo boy, do I not like those tonight. So our crankometer is our patented XY-axis for reading Christmas movies. The x-axis is how Christmassy a film is, and the y-axis is how good the film is. So, gentle friends, the x-axis, the Christmas quotient, how Christmassy is Santa Jaws?
Here's the only political number you need to know. 190 in after-hours trading.
Okay.
Oh. Are we getting into that?
No, that's all I'm going to say. 190 in after-hours trading. Down 52% year-to-date.
Yeah, I was about to say, because I think it was like 220 this afternoon, wasn't it?
Let's see.
Are you guys talking about Twitter?
We're talking about Tesla.
Oh.
I'm talking about the publicly traded company Tesla, not the privately owned companies SpaceX nor Twitter.
Down how much over the year?
Year to date, it is down 52%.
Good job.
If you factor in like the 3-to-1 stock split, it was at nearly 1,200 in like October of good last job. Year.
Oh dear, 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 dear.
How Christmassy is Santa Jaws? Let's do it.
Kinda,
somewhat. Takes place around the holidays. It gets the family together. I mean, the sheer fact that like the shark has a predilection for Christmas things.
It's kind of fun.
It's not bad. I enjoy that part.
I loved all of the nonsense with the having to use the Christmas trappings to fight it. I had to like roll my eyes across the fucking floor every time they said something that was basically just they took a Christmas related phrase and like made it sound like badass, basically.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Just because it's just like, yeah. I don't think there's any writer clever enough to make that not suck, and definitely not this guy who wrote the script.
Yeah, I mean, like, Santa Jaws is coming to town. Yeah. I can't. My brain and my body are shutting down tonight, so I literally cannot.
A one, maybe. There's some Christmas music.
There's some good Christmas music. I enjoy the image of the shark fin with the Santa hat on it is just chef's kiss. It's beautiful.
Cute.
A one, can we talk ourselves into a two?
I want to give it a two because I liked the fact that, like, the broken ornament teeth, the narwhal candy cane horn, the fucking Christmas tree lasso Christmas lights lasso that it used.
Yeah.
Joe, I got a project for you.
Okay.
Since I know you're trying to get this episode out the day after we record it, you need to spend some time tonight taking the LL Cool J song Deeper Bluer, which features the line Deeper Bluer, my hat is like a shark's fin, and make it instead be like Merry Christmas, my hat is like a shark's fin, because the shark is wearing a Santa hat on his fin. So go ahead and make that happen.
No promises. I'll see what I can do.
Oh, dear.
Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, I feel good about a two. Yeah. So then the quality quotient, the y-axis, did we have... It sounds like y'all kind of enjoyed this one. I'm most...
Enjoy is a strong word.
I am largely ambivalent on it. My two-word review for this film would be, it is aggressively okay.
Yeah, I mean, I went into this expecting to really not enjoy my time with it, but it was fine. It was fine. So, I mean, I think it's still in the negatives, I think, because it is aggressively mediocre.
Yeah, like, I mean, at the end of the day, God.
Sorry. Yeah, I was expecting Sharknado, and I got, like, Santa's sleigh, basically. I think it might be a good way to put it.
That's a good way to put it, yeah. Like, I was expecting one level of bad, but I got a different level of bad, but it was a nice surprise kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's like, it's two? I didn't dislike negative my one. Time with it, but, like, just being able to poke holes in, you know, the production and just the kind of generic shark moviness of it all, I don't know.
It's just kind of there. Like,
it really
I would
is.
Never recommend anybody watch it from, like, a curiosity standpoint, like some of the worst stuff we've watched or the weirdest stuff we watched.
Right. If you're a Christmas weirdo like us and you're looking for something like this, then yeah, definitely go watch Santa Jaws. But if you're... No, don't watch this at Christmas time. Don't do that to yourself.
Don't. Unless, yeah, I would say...
But even that feels mean, because, yeah, like, the movie's not that bad. It's just not very good.
It's just not interesting at
no,
all.
No, there's not enough here. There's just not enough here.
I mean,
there's not
it's,
enough meat
it's,
on these bones.
Basically, the Sci-Fi Movie Channel makes movies like this, and Hallmark makes movies that are like The Christmas Lumberjack. I mean,
yeah.
What are you going to do?
It is what it is, and it is a sci-fi movie.
You know, J-Man, that's a really good point. Like, if they could have fucking a Christmas movie Christmas, or hell, a Christmas Story Christmas is coming out. That's the real title of a real movie. Sure, Santa Jaws is just by title alone, Santa Jaws is a cut above that. So I'm willing to give it points for doing something different. If only because, like, compared to the Hallmark sort of wheelhouse of movies, this is something completely different. This is like the made for TV Christmas movie for dads.
Negative one?
Sure, negative one.
Right?
Yeah.
John, negative two?
I don't know. What did we give Bloodbeat?
Bloodbeat, we gave a negative one, positive one.
Because I feel like this is the inverse of Bloodbeat. It's more Christmassy, but less interesting.
No,
yeah.
Here's a different angle, though. So Bloodbeat, we gave a negative one, positive one. Jaws the Revenge, we gave a positive one, negative one.
It's... Ooh. Is that going to be our default shark movie score from now on.
Which is our default shark movie going to be? Is it Jaws the Revenge or is it Santa Jaws? This is important.
Okay, I want to say Jaws the Revenge probably, like, is a bigger, like, offender spiritually, because, like, that movie had, like, money behind it. Like, yeah. And you'd heard of some of the people in it, and, like, they were clearly in it for a paycheck, you know, some of them tell you as much, but it's just, like, they took good fucking money and made a fourth Jaws movie.
for better and for worse, it is a quote-unquote real movie.
So you're saying that Santa Jaws should be judged on its own merits and maybe is a zero?
I'm saying both of these are one negative ones. This is the shark movie score.
Okay, so we're codifying it. And the next time we come across a Christmas shark movie, regardless of how good or bad it is, it automatically gets a one negative one.
We don't even need to do an episode. We can just put it on the crankometer.
Oh, thank
the next time we come God. Across a Christmas shark movie, I'm just going to turn off Discord notifications for a week.
just so I... Listen, I know where you live, buddy. I will bring it to your house.
Yeah, I'm not home. Yeah, I'm, I'm like, somewhere that's not my house.
All right.
The Bahamas.
I got you. Okay, folks, pack it in. The crankometer score for Santa Jaws is a 1-1. Mark it, stamp it, let's move on. We've got more fun stuff ahead of us. Thanksgiving and Black Friday are coming up soon. Still not entirely sure what we're going to do for that, but it's going to be fun, whatever it is.
We're going to have to watch Christmas Story 3, aren't we?
Christmas Story Christmas is definitely in the hopper. I can't deny it, but I'm thinking that's going to be we're going to save that one for December. But we'll figure out our Thanksgiving plans, you know, off podcast, and we'll let you find people know. We'll let you know on Twitter at Christmas Creeps, as long as Twitter is still up and running. Who the hell knows? But if for some strange reason the Tesla man kills Twitter, we're on Facebook.
Good.
Yeah, good.
And
thanks
if for
a
some,
lot.
And if for some reason the alien man kills Facebook, we're on. He owns Instagram too, so he'll kill that too.
We still have an RSS feed.
Yeah,
of this.
Just subscribe to the podcast. Go to our website, and you'll find links to every possible way you could ever want to subscribe to our podcast. That's ChristmasCreeps.com. We're Christmas Creeps on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all those fun places. Leave us an Apple podcast rating, please. I would love to see some new ones up there because it's been a minute since we've gotten a couple of those. So definitely do that and tell a friend about the show because the holiday season is fast approaching and we would like to grow this community as fast as we can. And speaking of our community, if you look at our show notes, we will have a link to our Discord channel, which we encourage you to join and come and talk to us about all kinds of things. Christmas related, not Christmas related, video game chat, the woiks.
Lots of fun stuff there.
You can come make fun of the world's most divorced man. You can talk about Final Fantasy 14. You can talk about cats and dogs, too.
Yeah,
Brad makes food that sometimes looks good.
Yeah, and it's
thanks.
Our Discord, probably like many others, is nothing but a meme repository for us and our friends. But we enjoy it, so we come and join the fun. Anything else that I'm missing, guys? Before we get out of here, but so we've got some Christmas offerings coming up that we could possibly talk about in December. We'll keep you posted. But until then, folks, that's going to do it for Christmas Creeps. I've been Joseph Wade.
I'm Bradford.
I'm Italian Elon Musk.
Hey, I make it a car.
I make it a calzone. My wife will leave me.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Night, Babs.
Happy Christmas. Happy Christmas. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.